The scripture reading for this morning you can find in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here ends the reading of God's word.
O congregation, when was the last time that there was communion in a spiritual sense with the bridegroom? When did you hear his voice softly and friendly? When did you experience his grace poured out in his lips? When were you lifted up into communion by him with God last time? The congregation of Laodicea was a church of formalities. It had become a church of formalities. Oh, sure, there were people that loved the Lord, were truly converted and got grace, but it backslided. It lost communion. It was rich in outward sense. The congregation of Laodicea was a rich city, in a rich city. A lot of money and treasures. It's like Jeshurun. I don't know if I say the word proper, but Jeshurun, he became fat and missed the Lord. There are all kinds of gifts in the congregation of Laodicea. They trusted in past experiences and gifts. In former life. And probably they were, therefore the Lord Jesus says, I know thy works. They were sincere, critical. I think even they went back to the law, to legal, like the Galatians later. When the communion is lacking, we seek formalities, outward behavior. Communion at the Lord's table is a duty, not as a longing for communion with God. How long have you been in darkness? I don't know for whom it's the purpose to say it. Resting in formalities, speaking about your past conversions, knowing, and you knew it, the first love. But where is it? And you know, although the church cannot turn, God turns. It's like in the book of Songs, the Song of Songs, the Songs of Solomon. The bridegroom knocks at the door. His bride is lazy. She sleeps. She can do it without him. He knocks at the door. He says, "Where are you, my bride? I seek your communion, your fellowship, your love, your heart. But where are you?" And he knocked at the door. So it can be congregation, and all things are there in the church, but Christ isn't there anymore. You might know all the things, but miss his communion like in the past you had. You couldn't do a step without him. You bowed your knees daily. You were talking to him, and he answered your prayers. But where is it gone, Laodicea? And do you know the wonderful thing in all the letters of the Lord Jesus to the churches in Minor Asia start with a name, and in the name is comfort. Do you know what he said to that church? Backsliding, formalities, past experiences, legal attitudes. He says, "I'm the Amen. Although you're not faithful, I am faithful. I'm the faithful witness. I will testify against you," and he does in this chapter, "but I will also testify for you. You are mine. The Father has given you to me, and I'll give you back to the Father for eternal communion with God through you. I'm the Amen, the faithful witness, the first of all creations. I have a legal right, but also a gospel right upon you. I married you. You're my bride. Where are you? I love you, but where is your love from the past?" Oh, congregation, how is it possible that a church, beginning by grace, by eternal love found, covered with the righteousness of Christ, can be such worldly, formal, legal, without communion? Is the Lord's Supper, may I ask you, are you longing for his communion at the table? As the bride for the bridegroom? Or as the bridegroom for the bride? Is there a hunger and thirst for him and his righteousness, his peace and eternal love? The Lord Jesus says, "I know your works." It's remarkable that he doesn't say, "I know and I see the fruits." He says, "I know your works. I know your works. But you are not cold and not hot. lukewarm. You have been hot, but now you're lukewarm. Why does the Lord Jesus say you're not cold nor hot? He says, if you were cold and converted, I would understand why you are like you are. Not desiring me. Therefore, you could better be cold. But you're not hot anymore. That first love evaded, went away. There is some warmth, but lukewarm. The Lord Jesus doesn't say this without a reason. Laodicea was at the border of a desert. It was a desert town, at least the border town from the desert. And when the people came from the desert, they were thirsty. And before they could enter the city, there were wells. And you understand, if such a man went through the desert hot, on a camel or walking sometimes even, and he saw the wells, he ran after it and would drink the water out of the well. Do you know what happens? The water wasn't cold nor hot. It was lukewarm. Have you ever drunk on a hot day a lukewarm water? You will spew it out of your mouth. They knew what it meant physically when they thought about the wells outside of the town. I will throw you out of my mouth. You're not tasty. You're lukewarm, not cold. Cold water would be good. And hot tea would be good too on a warm day. But lukewarmness is difficult for the Lord Jesus to drink, to embrace, to love. May I ask you, how are you? Have you left your first love in your faith and exercise? How long has it, and I'm going to say it again, how long is it that you rest in your past already? What was your last meeting with him? When did you feel his embracement, his love, and peace? Because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And what is lukewarmness? Well, that's what I said. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in riches. Financially well-doing. Mammon reigns. No problems. The time when you were broke was better. And you were eaten out of. But now. But again. And now we go here and see it resting in the gifts. An elder. A deacon. Child of God. Gifted in knowledge. Your life is straightened out. You fight for it. That's good. But what's the well you drink from? What's the rock? And where is the rock you rest upon? Where is the love you drink from? Christ is outside of the door, and you're lazy. Therefore, he says later, be fervent. You're not fervent anymore. There were times when God converted your soul, you were addressing your children day by day and praying for their conversion, but where is it? You're speaking to people around about the grace of God in Christ. But what is it? Laziness. You put off your clothes, says the bride of the bridegroom in the Song of Songs, chapter 5. And you are resting, taking your rest. You didn't want to come when he knocked at the door. You didn't want to make your feet dirty again. You are clean. You didn't want to walk through the dust of the world. You are separate and better. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Have rest. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. The word knoweth is eidon, oida. That word know is see. You can better translate it for you to explain it, see. You don't see anymore that you're wretched, blind. Miserable. Poor. Naked. Blind. You're not blind anymore. Not naked anymore. You have works. Self-sufficient. Oh yeah. You know grace in the past history of your personal spiritual life. But where do you trust it? Miserable. Blind. Naked. If you trust in your own works, again, you crucify the Lord Jesus newly. And trust in self-righteousness, like the Galatians did. When the false brethren came and taught him that circumcision is needful to be a Christian, to do the law is a condition to be saved. To keep the ceremonial law is needful to be saved. Conditional preaching, congregation. But you don't know anymore. You don't see it. Now, and I'm going to the forum, eh? For, what does the forum say? Who is invited to the Lord's table? Who loatheth himself. I read this week a book of the Pharisees, the rabbis in the days of the Lord Jesus. And the Pharisees said there were three things necessary. That first, repentance. Secondly, prayer, communion, and thirdly, giving alms, having misericordia, compassion with the poor. Why do you say this, Pastor? I always believed, but it was a strengthening thing for me to read it, that conversion has nothing to do with the law, but with your heart. It's a broken and contrite spirit. It's evangelical repentance. And do you know what the Pharisees said? If you are near, before the Lord Jesus came, there must be children of God among them, like Anna. And even Simeon, a priest, I believe. Now what they said, and that's right, the nearer you are to God, the more repentance is given you. Humbleness, lowness of mind, brokenness of heart. And you know what I'm saying, people of God. When God came to you, he broke your heart. With a sorrow for God, work in repentance and conversion. The nearer you are to God, the more broken is your heart. Especially the people of God. Legal repentance is fear. And it's normally the way to Christ. But evangelical repentance is a fruit of faith. Therefore, conversion and faith, or repentance and faith, belong always together. If faith is an exercise, and you'll find it in the marks for those who can come to the table, they lose themselves and are not worthy to meet God at his table. They don't run. They sit at the lowest spot. Are not worthy to partake. Can just trust in past experiences, but are humbled, crying for mercy, not worthy to be at the table. But when there is formality in your life, you say, I have a right to come, and I'm converted. And I made all things straight with my neighbors. I have a Christian family. And is it? Can you stand before God? He knows your works. How long are you lukewarm? Not cold. Not unconverted. But lukewarm. Not hot. Not hot anymore. My dear congregation, when God comes, you know that John was as dead when he met Christ at his feet. Real communion means to be humbled, brought low, that he might be high. Let me speak to the unconverted. Are you worthy for grace? Are you longing for conversion? Are you preparing yourself to be converted? Can you? When God is converting you, you are the most unprepared sinner. Wretched. Miserable. Blind. And my dear congregation, on our side, we never come further. How do you know? Well, the Bible says so. In Psalm 119, what does David pray? He says, open my eyes to behold the wonders of thy grace. He couldn't do it himself. but my righteousness and glory is outside of myself in Christ Jesus. It's not in my flesh. I think this is the truth. We are 100% sinners, Romans 7. And if you're a Christian, you're 100% righteous in Christ. You loathe yourself, not have done any good, and you're still the bride of the bridegroom, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. You're miserable because you can't be what you want to be. Is it? Can you? A good father? A good elder? A good boss in your business? Can you? And still you're his. You know what the Lord's Day 1 says of the Heidelberg Catechism? What's my only comfort? That I my own know that I belong to the Lord Jesus. I am his. He washed my sins away. And my Father in heaven will never allow it. One hair of my head will fall outside of his will. My dear congregation, do you know where the salvation is? Not in me. I lose it. He is my salvation, dear. And in communion with him, you're righteous, holy, new, glorious. A sinner reconciled with God in Christ, congregation. There are some people say, no, we passed that station. We are not miserable anymore. Temporary faith. Now we are the glorious conquering people of the world. But the Lord Jesus says, you don't see that you're miserable, wretched, blind, unworthy. Is there a sinner in our midst who doesn't dare to say that he is converted, but he is blind, wretched, and miserable? And he doesn't know how to be saved. I believe this congregation, that convictions in the spiritual life are going deeper and deeper. And Christ and his righteousness will be higher and higher. That's grace. That's all. That's glorious. To buy of me gold, tried in the fire. I believe gold is the emblem, the symbol for faith. You might have faith, but do you have a tried faith? Purified in trials. Or say it different. Do you have a faith that's exercised or exercising? Bright faith, we sung. Yeah, Pastor, I believe. Yeah, no. Do you rest in him by faith? Exercising faith. Believing, not having a faith, but believing. Trusting, knowing, like the past, right now, that glorious days, where you're new, where are they? that I counsel thee to buy will be your own. But on the marketplace of sovereign grace, it's free, but it will be your own. Not your own works by which you are naked, but buy of me again clothes. For gold tried in the fire, that gold that communes with him, that thou mayest be rich in me. You hear what I'm saying? Outside of myself, in the Lord Jesus, when you walked with joy those days, rich in me, Huntington says, I have a bank, and that bank is in heaven. And he pays the dimes and the dollars, as I am in need of it. My riches is not in the gifts, but in the giver, in the fountain of life, Christ Jesus. Oh, you might be poor in the world. You might be miserable. He might only pay you a penny a day, but your riches is in heaven. Oh, don't despair. Ye people of God, don't despair of him. White raiment. That's a righteousness which I prepared for you. Take off your own self-righteous clothes. They are full of holes, dirty. You might wash it day by day. It's worn out. Buy of me, it's free. It will be yours. I pay the price and you'll have it. My white robe at the cross to cover all your unseen, your sins and your defilements and your unworthiness and your unfaithfulness. I will cover you as you are. Newly. Oh, glorious God. Buy it of me without price and without money. Milk and wine, white clothes to cover you that you won't be naked by your own works and past experiences which are dead in themselves today. And you will be new. Hey, have you ever bought a new suit? Or a new skirt? You got it this week, a new skirt. And you wear it today. I know. And you're walking into church and you think everyone sees it. Because you're so happy with it. Now if Christ clothes you anew and say, I'll cover your all your sins, all your weaknesses, all your selfishness, all your troublemaking, all your slothfulness, all with my white robe, you're new again. I don't know the word for it, but change clothes, eh? Whistleblader, they say in Dutch, but change clothes. Like Joshua, the high priest, he made it dirty again, again, again. And then he says, no, I have new clothes for him. And they are free. They are waiting for him. When was the last time that you had a new robe washed in the blood, put on your shoulders, having peace and experiences with God? How long ago? Are you trying to restore and to be better? And it doesn't work. Say, Lord, it's a failure with me. Say it that you're miserable, naked. Find. He says, I'll cover you. You're my bride. I don't want you to be ashamed. I'll cover your nakedness with my clothes. And I will be naked that you might be clothed. Free. Sovereign. Glorious. And Asaph, light. The spirit. You know that in Laodicea they had a kind of Asaph worldwide known for a kind of illness of eyes. I don't know which. But he had it. So they knew what he said. Your eyes are blurred or blind. And I have eyes off to see yourself, your miserable eye again. Self-knowledge. Oh, it's hateful to see. Shameful. You can't be an elder anymore, or a deacon, or a father, or a teacher. But not only that, to look to me, Nuri. When I reveal myself in the Word to you, as your surety, as your bridegroom, as your all in all, look into me. Once a man in the Netherlands said, I don't know, I told him, it doesn't matter. I met him on Monday and said, you had last Sunday Lord's Supper. He says, yeah, but there were a lot of people, they didn't belong there. Oh. He said, so I didn't go. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said, you had probably the long glasses. He had glasses. He said, your glasses were looking around. But you need other glasses. Look into him only. And when there is communion, you don't see a lot of people around you, although you might feel it. Look into me. Alone. Only. Totally. That thou mayest see. But not only that. See how to behave. How to walk. How to love. How to embrace. We are so many times blind in the ways we are walking in. We are stumbling. The paths of peace were lost. But at the corner, we're knocking our heads. You know why? It's no light. No eye to see. And eyes have. That you might see the directions. The kingdom of God. The leadings of the Spirit. You have seen them in the past. But how long ago? That you saw it for the last time, surely. And now you're knocking here and knocking there. Oh, surely. I'm not saying you're not a child of God. But he says, by Asaph, to see the kingdom of God and how high he directs your paths and ways into glory. That your blindness might be taken away, and a light might shine upon your path, a light to heaven. Behold, I am outside. You're slothful. And you didn't knock at the door. I didn't knock. Even in my dark days, I didn't knock. but I knock at your door. I desire your communion, your peace and your love, your sight and your grace. It's like in the 5th chapter of the Song of Songs. You might know that he knocked at the door, but she lay asleep. And she didn't want to put her robe on again. She was naked. And she didn't want to walk because their feet were clean. She had just washed them. She didn't want to make her feet dirty for Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? To meet him, you need your dirty feet to be washed by him only. But you don't want to make your feet dirty, isn't it? Oh, no, no, no. I want to be a clean one. You are a dirty one. You're miserable, wretched. Oh, that you might feel it is thy day. But he knocks at the door. He says, my bride, where are you? How long ago I long for you. I long for your communion, your peace, your joy. I long for you. You're mine. And I'm yours. But in the book of Song of Songs, Songs of Solomon, the Songs of Love, do you know what happens? In the door is a hole. And you open by the hole the door from the inside. Really, that's true what I'm saying. So what does Christ do? He puts mirror, love, through the hole on the knob to open it. And then he leaves. He doesn't push his people. He draws them by love. He loves them while they don't be able to love themselves anymore. Shameful, wretched, and miserable. He put mirth on the doorknob. And when she is laying on her bed, she smells the love. And by love she arises and arises again. And you know, and I'm not going through the whole chapter, but then she went through the streets and says, where is my beloved? Sometimes he hides himself for a long time. But love is invoking desire for him. And you go around the streets and say, where is he? And you know, and that's remarkable. On the moment the ministers come and take her clothes away, made her ashamed, and then he comes to clothe her newly and says, I take away your shame, you're mine. I clothe you with the clothes of salvation, congregation. He knocks at the door for the unconverted this morning. Says, you have been for 14 years to church, and do you know me? I know you. I knock at your door, preaching. Let me in. Let me in. Are you slothful, unworthy? Not desirous and not zealous anymore? He knocks at the door. When any man hear my voice, have you heard this morning? His voice. You probably thought he'll never speak to me anymore. But did you hear his voice this morning? Rebuking, drawing, loving, peaceful. And open the door. Come in, my beloved. Without thee, I have nothing. That's exercise faith, eh? As a gift. And the Bible says that, some have said that opening a door means give the opportunity to preach. That's nonsense. I gave them the open door of faith. By nature, the door is closed, eh? Since fall in paradise. But if God gives faith and exercise, the door is open and he will enter into it. I gave them an open door, you read it somewhere in the New Testament, of faith. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in and prepare a table. I come in and prepare a table. And put on it my blood. To cover your guilt. Duly. And my bread. My body, my righteousness that is broken, that my righteousness might be yours. I take your broken righteousness, your unfaithfulness, your unworthiness, your shamefulness. And I will sup with you. And will say again to you, I have it forgiven, you know. And it's still forgiven. It's still forgiven. Why does the Lord's Supper be administered, congregation? To know that he is yesterday, today, and forever the same. But you need to experience that exercise of faith. To sup with him. He says, come, take my blood. There's a full forgiveness of all your sins. I've said it before. When God forgives your sins, we hope to see it this afternoon or this night. When we hope to think about Lord's Day 30, who is worthy to be at the Lord's table. And, but let's say this. In Lord's Day 30, it said that you know your misery. That's the first thing you need to know. Go into the Lord's table. And your unworthiness. That's grace. Oh, congregation. Do you know? That's what I miss many times in the Netherlands. They are satisfied. Glorious. But not miserable anymore. Not in need of Christ experimentally. Can you see what I mean? They overcame it, rich and enriched. But there is no need for the bridegroom, spiritually. I know there are people, and I believe there are here. But we have a time and age. The church seems to be glorious, conquering. But I'm not conquering. I'm losing, and then I conquer. Like Jacob at Peniel, he lost and he won. For Christ won for him. I will come into him and will sup with him. He says, come, my beloved. Take my blood that washes you again and again and again. And again, and again, and again. Take my body and eat. my righteousness, and I'll sup with him, but he with me. He with me. That's communion. Me with him first. And then I with him second. Love. Peace. Grace. And him that overcometh, that loses himself to gain Christ. In him be victorious, more than victorious in him. I will grant to sit him in my throne. Even as I overcame, by losing I won, by dying I was victorious in resurrection. Even I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. That's the ultimate goal. To be reconciled with our Creator by the Lord Jesus, finding peace and waiting for glory. When I die every day, I am miserable, blind, and naked. I am victorious in him who overcame death, sin, and devil to sit with him in his crown, glory, in his throne, with my Father. And then, congregation, I end. He wears ear, let him hear. Have you heard? Have you heard his rebuke? Have you been ashamed this morning? Have you heard his voice of love? Of dying love? Have you seen his face? He says, I'll sup with you. And you with me, spiritually and factually. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. First this, unconverted man, you're called. There might be some impressions of fear, but you're called. You never have felt the love of Christ and the love of God, the peace. You never had a broken heart. Legal threats and legal fears. But you laugh them away and join the world. Might be in a spiritual sense that you never heard his voice, never saw his face. Cool. Oh, the day when it comes, when he will meet you. He will have said to you this morning, I knocked at your door that Sunday morning in preparation of service for the Lord's Supper. But you were thoughtful. Pastor, I can't open the door. No, I know what you're saying. Back then, open my door, Lord, and come in. I'm miserable. Naked. Blind. Cover me. Oh, that convictional preaching might be among us, and convictions being given, broken-hearted and contrite of spirit. Christ will enter the door, young people, and come to you. You were hot. You think, those days of which you preach, Pastor, will never come to me. Wait a moment. You'll find out that you will walk away some days and he will follow after you and say, where are you, my bride? I knock again to your door. come, let us suck again. And ye were attacked today and in this week that all is in vain and that you're probably not a child of God. That you have deceived yourself in darkness. Listen. He knocks again at your door and he says, here am I. Come and sup with me and I with you. I can miss you. I can miss you. Glorious Savior, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the congregation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, there are probably people who think they'll never go that deep again. And that lonely again. But when I set my mountains fast, stable, I thought it will never end. But when thou hidest thy faith, fear, darkness, shame, we have grieved thee. Lord, and still this morning in the preparational service, thou hast knocked at the door of thy people. I said, come, let me in. Let me in now. In me is all. And I'll sup with thee. And you with me. Remember us this morning with the after preacher that thy people might long for thee and that those who don't know thee might feel and experience a drawing love at the top of the door. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.